Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do-wop, 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 bop, bop, da.
Tell them, girl.
Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Come on.
Do-wop, 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 bop, bop, da.
Well, it makes no difference if it's sweet or
sweet
hot.
Or hot.
You got to give that
rhythm
everything.
And I know you just want to hear more of that, and I'm going to let you hear more of that, but in a little bit. First, I want to tell you what you're listening to, because it's hot stuff, isn't it? What a treat coming up. Welcome to the podcast. This is going to be an all-theater podcast today, because, you know, it's in the holiday season, and let's not get depressed with politics. So we're going to keep it upbeat with some great stuff going on, and I'm starting off here with a show that is currently playing, just about to open, actually, I should say, at the Victory Gardens Theater over at the Biograph, where John Dillinger was gunned down. If you've never been there, you ought to check that out. And the show is called Letting the Good Times Roll, and the two women starring in this will also slay you. How's that for a tie, ladies?
That's good.
Putting these women together, when I saw this was coming, I just like fell over, because I love both of them separately. I'm getting to you. I got to introduce you. I love both of them separately, and to imagine the two of them singing on stage together was more than I was able to handle. Let me introduce who's joining me. Felicia P. Fields, who, if you saw The Color Purple on Broadway, or if you saw it in the national tour here in Chicago, where we are, then you saw her. And she played that role, Sophia, which, yeah, Oprah Winfrey played it, but that was just Oprah. When Felicia took on that role, man, it knocked me off my side. It was unbelievable. And so she, of course, she's homegrown. She is from Chicago, and so not just a Broadway actress, but Tony Award nominated, and if you add up all the awards these ladies have, we don't have time to talk about the show, so we won't do that. But she's just an incredible Chicago treasure. She's appeared at the Goodman and on and on and on. But also joining us is Ife Butler. That is a name I know you know, because she's been performing in this town for almost 40 years, even though she's 43 years old.
That's right.
Yeah. An actress, singer, the Goodman. And every time I at the Goodman or the Victory Gardens or Steppenwolf or something, and I just like open the program and I see that she's going to be in the show, I know I'm in for a good time. And these ladies coming together in concert, limited run cabaret called Letting the Good Times Roll. Felicia, Faye, welcome to this podcast, and thanks for talking about the upcoming show.
Thank you.
Paul.
So I'm going to start with Felicia with this. I didn't realize, I mean, I kind of figured you guys might know each other because, you know, two kind of fantastic divas in the city. That's a compliment. But I had no idea how far back your relationship goes, Felicia.
Oh, yeah, it goes way back. I was on a doorstep.
you were a baby and left on Faye's doorstep? Is that what happened? No, Faye, am I right? You guys go back over 30 years.
Yeah, it's like 31 years.
We weren't 31 years. We were at the Marriott Lincolnshire. And we did, our first show was The Wiz. And she played Eveline and I played Glenda. And we also did Atta Pearl and him. And that was our first show that we did together.
Wow. What gave you the idea? Now, I know this is being produced by Steve Abrams. Whose idea was it to say we got to bring the two of us together and, of course, surrounded by other incredible talent? But who decided to bring you two together in this show? And I'll ask that just to keep everything clear. I'll ask Felicia that question.
Everybody, you know, has always asked us from time to time, you know, when are we going to do something together? And I think we just found a way to merge this together at this time. Faye, is that probably how it happened?
Faye,
no, that's the way it basically happened. You know, we did, actually, we just for fun, Steve had asked us to do a concert for Navy Pier this summer. I think that was sometime in July.
Mm-hmm.
And we only had to do maybe about three or four numbers.
I remember that.
So we did those three or four numbers at Navy Pier for the 100th birthday of the pier. And once we did that, people were like, okay, so now you got to do this again, but you got to do a full-fledged show.
Actually, if you add up the number of years that both of you have been in the business and the number of years you've known each other, you kind of get to that 100 mark.
Yeah, I guess.
I know that's just real rough math, but I was trying to get there. So, Faye, this show, it opens December 15th. It's running through January 7th. It's a limited run, and I know I want to talk about New Year's Eve because that's special, but aside from that, people who come to see Letting the Good Times Roll, Faye, what are they in for? What is the evening like on stage at Victory Gardens?
Well, first of all, they're going to learn a lot about Felicia and I and our relationship, because one of the funny things about it is, for some reason, people always confuse Felicia and I. I cannot tell you how many times people run up to me and say, Felicia, you were amazing in Color Purple. I say, she was amazing, but I'm not Felicia.
Did you ever just think of taking the compliment and going, yes, I was?
I do that sometimes. Sometimes I really do.
We do that. Just say, yes,
I know Felicia's done that, too.
And then break into song.
Yeah, sometimes we just go, thank you, and keep going, because it's harder. It's harder to explain it sometimes,
right,
because people get very embarrassed, and they shouldn't be embarrassed. We just let them know that, although I appreciate everything you're saying, that's just not me. So we've got that song in the show.
By the way, I have that same problem with Brad Pitt. People walking up to me, Mr. Pitt, I loved your last movie, and I just say thank you.
Thank you. That's it. That's all you need to say sometimes. So it's full of songs that we love. You know, Felicia loves the blues. I love jazz. We both grew up in gospel music. Here in Chicago, we're both Southsiders. We were both raised in the church. There, we have lots of similarities, and we're very different in many ways. So we want to celebrate all of that, as well as we got some amazing musicians behind us. So
yes,
there's stories. There's so much going on.
And you've got Jaboe and Dixon, so there's going to be some dancing going on stage, because I know he's a tap dancer.
Yep.
Yes.
You and ladies going to be tap dancing?
Oh,
you
know, no.
I'll be encouraging him.
Okay.
And then I'm going to give the stage over to him, because I am a firm believer that you should stay in your lane.
So Felicia, what are some of the songs that you guys, every time you either of you just sing something, I'm on the floor. So we came in with It Don't Mean a Thing, so that's going to be in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been on WGN Morning News. Now, you did some Christmas stuff here, but I don't know whether, or that was the plan. With, you know, so what can you just kind of, Felicia, tell me some of the songs we will hear.
We did Merry Christmas Baby this morning.
Yeah.
On WGN, but we do several songs from shows that we have been in together, and some shows that we have done separately, but have done as the same character. We also do several gospel numbers, because toward the end, we get back together and we sing something of an inspiration that was to us, happened with us at our church, and how we became inspirational in that, right? So we do that. We do a little blues. We do a little jazz. We talk about men. All that kind of thing.
Well, I'm going to be there to hear that. So, and Faye, of course, you guys are both, I mean, even though you are known all around the country and internationally, but this is home. I mean, Faye,
oh,
for
absolutely.
Both of you.
We're both South Side girls, raised on the South Side, you know, went to church, grew up in church on the South Side of Chicago. Our roots are very deeply planted. We both still live on the South Side of Chicago.
Yes, we stay on the South Side.
Yeah, it's very important to us. I think it's what I know for me, it keeps me balanced.
Yep.
Yeah,
it keeps me balanced to stay in my neighborhood to where people know me, but they don't have to know me as Ife Butler. They just know me as Faye. That's very satisfying to me. When I come home and I'm flying back home, there's nothing like the skyline in Chicago when you're coming back home.
Well, I would hope they call you Ms. Butler, by the way.
Yeah.
You've always made me call you Ms. Butler. No.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
and
by the way, Felicia, the third or fourth time I saw Color Purple, I got to tell you, I remember waiting outside. I actually became one of those stage door groupies to wait for you to come out because I was just so floored. Even though I knew you, I should have sent a note backstage, you know, but I didn't. I waited there and you came out and just were so gracious to the friends and folks I were with. So incredible in that role. I want to talk about, and you can both address it, Felicia, you start, New Year's Eve, because as I've been reading about this show, I keep seeing this, but think about New Year's Eve, and then when I found out what you all were doing, I'm like, how do you do anything else New Year's Eve except spend the night with you ladies, because you are doing something really unusual. So, Felicia, what are you doing?
We are. Well, Ms. Butler decided that we should cook.
Literally, you two are going to cook.
Well, you know, we both do a lot of cooking. I don't do as much because my children have left the nest. And I don't know how to cook small portions. So I wind up giving a lot of food away. But we talked, and she decided that it would be a great idea if we kind of cook some things up to make it kind of homey for the people that would be with us on New Year's Eve, and we bring in the New Year's together with some black-eyed peas and some collard greens and some ham and chicken and, you know, kind of thing.
I didn't hear the phrase mac and cheese in there at all.
Oh, it's there. It's there.
Okay.
It's there.
And, you know, and Victory Gardens
can't
Theater.
Have a party without mac and cheese.
That, well, I knew that. That's why I was waiting for that. And Faye, and you've been at the Victory Garden. You performed there. And, mm-hmm. and so there's that great space. I'm assuming the party part of this after your show, it's up in that wonderful space they have, which is absolutely perfect for an event like
this. Yeah, it's perfect. It's in the rehearsal hall, and we're going to kind of convert it into like a lounge, like a living room area, you know, where everybody is comfortable and cushy. And drinks are included. We have signature drinks, as well as wine and champagne and beer and, you know, lots of libations, cakes, and there's cookies baked by. And this is not only just Felicia and I cooking, but all of it also an extension of our families, you know.
Wow.
Her sister, her mom, you know, my daughter, you know, my I have a surrogate grandmother now that most of my family's gone, my sister. So everybody's kicking in, and it's kind of like our families are bringing to our audience New Year's Eve the way we would celebrate.
Are you sure? Now, you know, listen, I don't know if you plan to, you know, if you will sell all the seats that night, because I'm thinking if Victory Gardens, if that theater sells out, are you sure you know what you're getting yourself into?
Oh, yeah, we know.
Okay.
We know what we do.
Well, Felicia said she doesn't know how to make small portions, so
get ready
for...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So first of all, just take that into consideration.
Right. Just feed... I'm sure one pot will feed 500 people, Felicia. You'll be fine. You know what else I love about you? And again, I saw this morning as we were all at WGN, but the dynamics between you two, I mean, I know you as incredible singers, and individually, you're just very, very funny, but you two have a, sorry, this is my background, not yours. You got a shtick between you two that's really very funny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
When you're
she always says, I'm the bad witch and she's the good witch.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say it, Faye. There were people that suggested that.
Oh, thank you, Miss Fields.
I'm now, just riding with it.
Now, Felicia, will there be ad libbing? I mean, I can't imagine there isn't ad libbing. Are you scripting the evening?
They tried to script me and Faye, but it's not possible. You know, and the whole point, Paul, absolutely, the whole point as far as I'm concerned is that we are being ourselves.
Yeah.
And to be ourselves, you won't see the exact, you'll see the sketch of the same show, but you won't see the exact same show every night. Because to me, that's what makes it more exciting than just coming to see us as a character.
So the truth is, if you love this kind of music, you might as well go a few times because you're going to see a different element
Absolutely.
Every time you go.
If you liked it the first time, just come on back, because each time we're going to get gooder and gooder.
I love it. Hey, Faye, I know it's directed by Kenneth Roberson, and I'm just, who you're probably driving crazy by the fact you won't follow instructions.
Right, we
but
are.
Is he related to Sam Roberson Jr. at all? The young
no, country? He's not.
Okay.
No, he's not. Kenneth comes from New York, and he actually choreographed. What is the show about the puppets? I always forget the show.
Oh, Avenue Q.
Avenue Q.
Uh-huh.
He's the choreographer of Avenue Q, and he was also like Gregory Hines' personal choreographer. And so he's done Black and Blue, and he's done Sophisticated Ladies all over the world. And so he's a renowned choreographer. He's directed on Broadway as well and all over the country. And so he knows both of us, and he was kind enough to come in and kind of help stage us. Yeah, you're right. He can't, you know, he tries. He goes, well, wasn't in the script something like that? I said, oh, yeah, we kind of changed that. So, he's pulling his hair out.
I have a feeling it should say directed by Felicia and Faye is probably what it ought to say.
Well, you'd find that Faye is extremely much more organized and constructible than I am. I fly off the cuff quite a bit. So, I'm going to give her that. She is much more disciplined.
I can't wait to see the show. I would remind folks, it opens December 15th, and it plays only through January 7th. But if you are available New Year's, you know, some people sitting around New Year's Eve, they don't feel like, I know, I'm sorry, but I just don't like that whole downtown thing and the hotels
right,
and all that.
Right, right.
So this feels like it's just you're spending the evening with family is what it feels like.
Absolutely.
And knowing that the stars are cooking for you and stuff, I mean, that's just, I hope there'll be to-go packets too. I mean, you can have little Tupperwares.
Oh, we always got some. We always got containers. You know, everybody got a container.
Or we'll have our aluminum foil.
That's right. Or as my grandmothers used to say, tin foil.
It ain't just your grandmother, honey. I say tin foil, too. I still do. Well, you can get tickets at victorygardens.org. Is there anywhere else, or just go to victorygardens.org?
Victorygardens.org is probably the best place to go and get the tickets.
Okay. And again, it's going to be, the Biograph Theater, which is historic in and of itself. So if you've never been there, and if you're a Victory Garden subscriber, you know exactly where it is and you'll want to be there. But this New Year's Eve performance, the after party, what a great way. It's one I just promise people you will remember.
And there's going to be plenty of dance. We got a DJ and everything. So it's going to be really fun.
Oh, I love it. Maybe I'll do some Hanukkah songs or something.
Exactly. We have no respect of,
everybody.
You got some Kwanzaa. We're ready.
I'd do it. I'll do it. You do not want to miss Felicia Fields, Ife Butler, letting the good times roll, the Victory Gardens Theater. Get your tickets because there's probably something left. I don't know, but I'm going to send people to the website. Check it out. VictoryGardens.org. The phone number, if you don't play on the web, is 773-871-3000. 871-3000. Get the New Year's Eve tickets before those are gone, if they aren't already, because what a night that's going to be. And to know these ladies are cooking for you and are bringing tinfoil for you to bring some stuff home. Now you're going to have to. Ladies, thank you so much. And you break
Paul.
A leg, as we say. And I can't wait to see you on stage.
Please. All right. We'll see you soon.
All right.
Have some fun.
It don't mean a thing. It ain't got to swing.
One short day in the Emerald City.
Oh, I've always wanted to see the Emerald City.
One short day in the Emerald City.
Well, there's music I could listen to all day and all night, and often do. If you are like most people in this country, you know exactly what show that music is from. And that is from the show Wicked by Stephen Schwartz, Winnie Holtzman. It's based on a novel, actually, by Gregory Maguire. It's a kind of a different take on the Wizard of Oz story that everybody knows. It's sort of like a how did the Wizard of Oz end up as the Wizard of Oz, and how did everybody get to where they are? A really clever, interesting take. I've seen the show a million times from its Broadway opening, actually, and all the way to the show that is here back in Chicago now. I mean, I saw last year that this was on its way back, and you know, you kind of like immediately get your tickets for it because this is one show that needs no promotion. It is just so very popular, and I think one of the greatest musicals ever written. Personal opinion. Well, joining me are the two stars of the show. How exciting is that? Mary-Kate Morrissey, who plays Elphaba, Gina Claire Mason, who is Glinda. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
So you're in Chicago. You're here till January 21st. Let me just, Mary-Kate, what do you think of this city? What do you think of the, I mean, you've already been playing in front of our audiences. What do you think of Chicago audiences?
Oh, my God, it's so fun. We've been looking forward to Chicago for so long, it feels like. And now that we're finally here, the sound is so good. And you can tell that the show has been here because our dressers are so amazing and everything is, the orchestra is unreal because they've played it before. And Chicago is kind of known as Wicked's second home. So it's really, really, really cool to be back.
Absolutely true. So very cool. And anybody you talk to in the audience, what you should do is, after each performance, run out to the lobby and just start asking people, how many times have you seen this show? And they'll tell you 10.
It's fun. People come to the stage door and let us know how many times they've seen it. And, you know, it's been such and such years since we've seen it, so we're happy it's back. For me, it's really full circle because I actually saw Wicked at the Oriental Theater 11 years ago when I was a kid, and already knew that this was like the ultimate dream role for me. So it feels very full circle,
and that was
a dream come true to be here.
Do you remember the original cast? That was Stephanie, right?
The original cast here, maybe
you saw.
You know?
I'm pretty sure.
I did not see Stephanie. I saw Anna Gasteyer.
Oh, Anna Gasteyer. Yes, okay.
And Kate Reinders. And it was, I think I saw it just after Anna had joined.
Gotcha.
I think Stephanie J did the national tour first, right? I think so, he did Emerald City and Where's the Munchkin Land Tour.
Yeah, but I thought that came through here. At least I thought I saw it. Well, maybe I saw her on Broadway. I don't know. But as I said, I've seen...
This was the start of our tour. It was the Munchkin Land started as the Chicago sit-down. So this is kind of home for our specific tour and all of our set.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, Gina Claire, let me talk to you because you play Glinda, and it's Galinda early on. We for those who haven't seen it, we'll find out how Galinda becomes Glinda, which is sort of funny. but you know, it's funny. As I said, I've seen half a dozen women, you know, play these roles, and you guys were a little different for me as I watched it. I'm sort of curious what's directed and what is sort of you bringing things to the role. I mean, Glinda is always a little bit blonde, is what I want to say, but that's just a line out of a song. I'm not insulting blondes. It's not that. See, the show, you'll understand why I said that. But Gina Claire, I'm just curious. You sort of play her almost funnier than I've seen her in the past.
Oh, thank you.
Am I reading that right? Are you directed that way or what?
You know, it's really interesting. Something I was surprised about, you know, Wicked has been running for 14 years now. And so in some ways, I think it's easy to, you know, see it as a machine and it's been going so long. And I kind of thought when I joined the show a couple years ago that it was going to be cookie cutter. You know, this is the way that you need to play this role and this is the way it's directed. And mind you, we definitely have to maintain the artistic integrity and direction of everything that we do. But I do think creatives give us some room to bring a little bit of ourselves to the role. And I think that's really cool. And I think that keeps it really fresh. And I think that's why the show has been running so long. And, you know, Wicked does a really good job of turning over their casts every year and a half or so. So that really also helps to keep it fresh. And so, yeah, it's cool. Both me and Mary Kate get to bring a little bit of ourselves to these parts. And
yeah,
I would say that there's probably a little bit of Glinda at the heart of me and a little bit of Elphaba at the heart of Mary Kate too. So
I took my daughter and this is the third time she's seen it. So she just read, but I asked her during the intermission, I said, do you know why the witch's name is Elphaba? And she didn't. Well, she should have, because I've told her before, but that shows how much she listens to me. But can you, Mary Kate, can you tell listeners, like, where did the name Elphaba come from?
Didn't it come from the...
Oh, my God, am I going to...
It came from initials,
yes,
right?
Yes, sure. Oh, my God, I'm going to teach you something you didn't know. Oh, I'm so excited.
L. Frank Baum.
Yes.
Yeah.
L. Frank Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz, Elphaba.
L-F-B.
Yeah. So that's where it comes from. How cool is she? Was really impressed that I knew that. And maybe you're impressed that I knew that.
I'm very impressed.
Yeah. So Mary Kate, I'll stick with you. So talk a little bit for people that haven't seen it and they're thinking, so is this the Wizard of Oz on stage? Let's address the issue for folks who have never seen Wicked, though. I don't know how that's possible. Give me the plot of the show. What are people coming to see?
The plot of the show is it's kind of like it's the untold story of the two witches in The Wizard of Oz. So you have Glinda the Good and the Wicked Witch of the West, but at some point those two women were, you know, 20-somethings at you know, boarding school, and how they met and how they were friends, unlikely friends, and how they changed each other's lives and kind of changed the world as a kind of by that, their friendship, you know?
And go ahead.
And?
Well, no, I was going to say, so we learn about them, but Gina Claire, I'll come to you. But also, people, what about the lion? What about the scarecrow? We actually kind of learn how that happened.
Yes, it's definitely a backstory of sorts. Something funny, I know you mentioned Gregory Maguire. He came to see the show this summer in Boston, which was nerve-wracking and exciting to get to perform for him. But one of the things he was talking to us about writing the story, and he said he watched The Wizard of Oz growing up every single year. And, you know, when this idea started stirring for him, he said he fell on the floor when he decided that Elphaba and Glinda knew each other at school. He thought that was so brilliant. He was like, yes, that's it. He said it was a breakthrough for him.
And again, that's what, right, because he did create this. I mean, that's not from the original story, sort of, so he kind of came.
Right.
So he sort of created some of these things. By the way, I think I should have, I know John Robert Hall's very good, but I personally think I should have been Fiero. That's just me.
Oh.
And since we're all together.
John, Paul's coming for your part.
Since we're all together, I mean, you know, maybe something could happen to him tonight and I just show up on stage. I don't know.
The new Fiero studies, you might have to fight first.
Yeah. And so, by the way, I collect a lot of Broadway props and different things. So actually from Wicked, I have a couple of tickets to the Oz ballroom. And I even have a bottle of the elixir, the little green elixir that was used in Broadway. And so it's fun to sort of look at that. But, you know, there is a moment in this show that it's known as Defying Gravity. That's the number. But I have to tell you, from the first time I saw it, as I said, I was at opening night with Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth. And I didn't know what I was in for. I didn't know anything about it. But this moment, this Defying Gravity, which ends the first act, is, for me, it's the moment when Elphaba becomes the Wicked Witch. Mary-Kate, true? I mean, that's the moment.
I think that she definitely, in that moment, breaks away from every convention that she thinks she has to succumb to in the world and embraces her power, for sure. I would say that the perspective of the word wicked or wicked witch is, you know, up to the viewer, but I think that in her heart, she's trying to do good. She's just fed up with believing in people who, you know, aren't who they say they are and wanting to do good in the world. And I think that it kind of breaks her, but it doesn't break her in a bad way. It breaks her into a different level of herself.
And I'm so glad you said that, because, correct, I just know the show so well, I refer to Wicked Witch just because it's kind of a technical change in her, but you're right. The truth is, audiences love Elphaba. I mean, this is not like, you don't sit there saying, yeah, melt her, get rid of her. No, you actually love Elphaba, and this backstory that gets created, and you realize, you know, Glinda loves her too. This is really a wonderful relationship. So, again, for folks who haven't seen it, I'm just going to invite you to see it. But Defying Gravity, I want to play a little bit of that, because for me, it's truly one of my favorite numbers in the show, and there's this moment. Well, I'll tell you about that moment. It's right at that last second of the act, but it happens with the final note. Let's take a look. Now, this is the original cast recording. This is Idina Menzel doing that number, just because I don't have you on tape doing this. But here's Idina Menzel doing a little bit of Defying Gravity.
And nobody in all of us, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring.
It's that last run. It's that last note. When you're in the audience, you're looking at Elphaba and her face. There is this visual shift. That's why I said what I did before. There's this shift in her face on that run, on that note. And then, boom, lights off, curtain down. You probably know this, Mary-Kate, but the audience goes nuts.
Yeah.
And
it's so fun. It's so fun because I'm coming down in the levitator. Like they bring the map in, and I'm like just slowly coming down while everybody is still cheering, and like the whole cast is kind of like walking back to their costumes and getting undressed and all that stuff, and I'm just like in slow motion coming back to the stage.
Do you ever want to like sneak through the flies and come out in the front and take a bow, just going, I know that's a really good number?
No, never. I'm always like, okay, now we got to do act two.
Well, I'm going to say this. I think there are two actresses who are robbed of an incredible just audience reaction, and I mean face-to-face, that's one of them. The other one, by the way, for me, is in Dreamgirls. We're not going to talk about that, but it's Effie, the act of act one, when she says, and I'm telling you, I'm not going. And that last note and that last moment, which is another one where the audience is going bananas, and we don't get to show it because, boom, the lights are down. But that's their problem. So, but for Wicked, I'm so glad I let you know, and of course you already did, the reaction of the audience, it floors us. That number is incredible. And Gina Claire, when you guys do, as we watch your relationship grow together and stuff, at first, I mean, your character Glinda goes through a bit of a personality change too. She's a bit pompous, a bit stuck up. She doesn't totally get over that, but she does sort of come to see the light of day a little bit, right?
Gina Claire? Definitely. And you know what? I don't necessarily think of her as being vain. I think of her as being
kind of, I mean, kind of ignorant at all. She just grew up really, really privileged.
Right.
And I don't think she's a mean girl. I think she's just kind of ignorant to a lot of the world's realities. Because she's just been sheltered in a bubble, if you will, growing up.
Sure. And she stays there. Actually, that's really true. I mean, I really love that. You are in the bubble. That is kind of the way the character gets sort of created. We don't really see that in the movie version of The Wizard of Oz, but it is the way Greg Maguire has sort of created that character.
Exactly. And in Defying Gravity, you know, Elphaba's obviously going through her own shifts, but in a lot of ways, Glinda's bubble has been burst, too. They're both faced with a decision and obviously end up going in different directions. But in light of the new realities presented, she's got to make a choice, too.
Yeah, very, very true. This is, it's
such. You can get on the broom and go away with Elphaba or stay.
Hey, she offers you. She, here's a broom. Come with me, right? And we see that moment. And it is true. These are, we both, the audience loves Glinda. They love Elphaba. I mean, this is just, that's what kind of gets different. We're afraid of the Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz, I think, especially if you're a little kid. In this show, little girls show up and they're dressed as you. They want to be you. This is just such a magical portrayal of both those roles and surrounded by such, and such incredible people have also been part of this. I, the role of Bach, for example, who in this show is
Robin DeJesus.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do you know in the past, like,
nominee?
Yeah. I mean, do you know Adam Lambert has played? No, actually, Adam Lambert was Fierro.
Fierro. Role.
Yeah. And Randy Harrison from Queer as Folk. I've interviewed him, and he was Bach. So such great people have just, in many ways, either gotten their start or made their way into the Wicked cast at some point as they go on to do other great things too.
Definitely.
Yep. You guys are, I'm assuming you guys.
You know, I think audiences relate, you know, see part of themselves in Elphaba or in Glinda and can relate.
Yeah, very much so. I can tell you, little kids love it. Adults, it's not a kid show, but it's appropriate for kids. It's not necessarily an adult show. Adults love it. I mean, I think it's why it's so popular. I think it's why, you know, when I was talking to the Broadway and Chicago people about this, they sort of said a bit tongue-in-cheek. They said, well, you know, there are some shows you don't have to go bananas promoting. This is one of them. People find out Wicked's coming, and boom, they're back for the umpteenth time in many cases. If folks have not seen the show or you have seen it, don't miss it again. It's only here till January 21st. It's not a long time when you're trying to get in to see Wicked. So, you know, go see Hamilton one night, then Wicked the next night. It's just a great night. You're downtown, you know. Hey, by the way, do you guys see some other theater? Do you get any nights off to be able to do that?
Yeah, I went, we flew in on Monday, and we didn't start shows until Wednesday, so I got to see Hamilton on Tuesday night here in Chicago, and it was so awesome. And we just did a big benefit for Broadway Cares XB Fights AIDS last night with the Hamilton cast and the Beautiful cast.
I know you did.
And it was so fun because Hamilton came, some of them came and saw our show Sunday night. And so it was fun that we had kind of all seen each other's shows and were able to be like, you were amazing. No, you were amazing. And
no, really. How amazing was I? Yeah, it was a tough night in Chicago. Chris Jones of the Tribune, he had a tough time. Chris was between, he just wanted to see you, he wanted to see Chita Rivera. There was a lot of stuff going on in Chicago last night.
Yes, yeah.
It's fun, too, to mingle outside of the cast.
Oh,
The actor playing Aaron Burr helped me carry a package back to my apartment the other day because we ran into each other in the elevator. So it's cool getting to mingle and having all these fabulous shows here at the same time.
I love it. It's so wonderful. Oh, in my prop collection, you know what else I have? I have a mask of Chistery. One of the monkeys.
You do?
Yes.
So cool.
Yeah, I actually have two of them, one from the London cast and one from New York. So that's how much I love this show.
Do you know what the green elixir is made out of? I know you said you had
No, tell me. Tell me.
I don't know if this is giving away any theater magic.
It's just between us. Nobody will. I won't tell anybody.
There's a glow stick inside. Yeah,
really?
Don't tell anybody. And it's also, it's mouthwash. I think it's Listerine.
I'm drinking Scope? Or
Yes, I know.
Wow,
I don't think it'll turn you green.
Wow. Well, now I know. Now I have to go home and taste it. No, I'm not going to do that.
Minty fresh.
Right, yes. Well, the show is Wicked, and if you want the whole title, it includes The Untold Story of the Witches of Oz. It is playing at the Oriental Theater. It's here till January 21st. BroadwayInChicago.com is where you can get tickets. Don't miss it. If you haven't seen it before, do not miss it this time. If you got kids, take the kids. You don't have kids, you don't need kids. You do not want to miss this show. It is truly one of my all-time. When people ask me, what are your favorite shows? I mean, just Wicked comes out of my mouth. There's no question about it. It's so great. Mary-Kate Morrissey, an incredible Elphaba. Guinevere Mason, a wonderful Glinda. Have a great time in Chicago, and thanks for bringing such talent to this city. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
And we're going to go out with you two singing one of the most wonderful songs in the show that Glinda and Elphaba sing together. It's called For Good, and I will leave you ladies with that song.
Because I know because I knew you. I have been changed for good. And just to clear the air, I ask forgiveness for the things I've done you blame me for. But then I guess we know there's blame to share.
Anything different about me?
You look a little heavier than I remember.
Trees! We've got all kinds!
How wonderful. Yes, it is. It's holiday time. It's Christmas time. And there's a tradition in Chicago. It's been going on a very long time. A show called The Christmas Schooner. It's at the Mercury Theater right now. It has been at other theaters. I mean, it's been around for a long time, but its home has been the Mercury Theater now for several years, and I'm so glad it is, because in my opinion, nobody puts on a show like the folks at Mercury Theater Chicago, and I'm not just saying that because they're with me, because, Walter, you know I mean that. Joining me to talk about The Christmas Schooner, the stars of the show and the director of the show, but also the executive director, artistic director over at the Mercury Theater Chicago. Let's start with him. Walter Stearns, welcome back to the podcast. You've been with me before, and it's always good to have you back.
Hello, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And sometimes we talk about the various shows that are coming up at the theater, but today it is holiday time. This is an all-theater edition of the podcast, and so I really wanted to focus in on shows, and there's no better show to talk about this time of year than The Christmas Schooner, which set sail actually back in November. It's playing until December 31st. We get a couple of stars of the show joining us. Playing the role of Peter Stossel is Steph Tovar. Steph, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And Brianna Borger plays Alma Stossel. Yes, they have the same name because they're part of the same family, because that's who we follow throughout the course of this show. Brianna, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So I'm guessing a lot of the WGN listeners maybe have seen Christmas Schooner already. Walter, I'm going to start with you. If people have seen Christmas Schooner before in some other incarnation, maybe even at a theater before it came before to the Mercury Theater, what's the reason for coming to see it this year at your theater?
Well, for your listeners who don't know The Christmas Schooner, it is our Chicago Christmas. It is a Chicago-centric story, and the events that inspired the story of The Christmas Schooner took place 104 years ago, the same year, coincidentally, that the Mercury Theater opened. So the theater has a little history to it. The show has a lot of great Chicago history to it. And our experience at the Mercury, you know, we're in that beautiful Southport Corridor neighborhood where the street is just alive for the holidays with shopping and dining. And it's a great neighborhood to be in to experience the holidays. At the Mercury, you are within just a few feet of the stage. It's a very sort of intimate musical theater experience. The actors, the stage itself kind of jets out into the audience, and audiences can expect a very intimate holiday experience with their friends and family.
And what says a lot about a show, Steph, is, you know, it's one thing if an actor does a role and says, get me out of this theater, I'm never doing this one again. and yet for you, playing the role of Peter, this is, I think it's your third year in the show, right?
It's actually my fourth year.
The fourth year. So, well, I'm wrong by one, but I know you've been in it for several years. I've seen you do it. What brings you – talk to me about the role of Peter Stossel, but especially what is it about that role and this show that brings you back year after year, obviously at Walter's invitation, but obviously you want to do it.
Yeah. You know, I believe in the story so much. I was explaining it the other day as almost like Santa. It's just something that our whole cast and everyone at the Mercury believes in so much, the spirit of the show, that it's a pleasure to do it every year. And with the role of Peter, you know, I have an 11-year-old son, and being a dad is the most important thing in my life, and I think that really comes across in John Rieger's book, how good of a father Peter is and his relationship with his son. And, you know, it's something that I just never get tired of doing. I love coming back year after year.
And Brianna, what's also amazing about the show is, I mean, there's a travel, right? These guys go off. They're going to get trees. They're in danger. We get them on the water. We get them in the boat. I mean, we get all of that. You're kind of managing the fort back at home. Such an important part of the story, right, is just the life in Chicago and what's going on, even though mostly the men are out there trying to get these trees and get them back for Christmas.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I love about my role, too. This is also my fourth year with the show. Steph and I came on at the same time, and playing Alma it's such a different arc and experience than almost everyone else in the show. These men get to go off and sail the boat and have the exciting Christmas in Chicago, and then you get these kind of homestead scenes with me and the young son just holding down the fort and waiting for them to come home, and you get to see that other side of the story. You know, it's not all excitement and Christmas trees. There's also people back home worried about them and hoping that their own family Christmas won't be beset by tragedy or anything else like that. And I love that my character gets to put that across and show shades of you know, warmth and joy, but also worry and hurt and all of those emotions. I love that it's a Christmas show, a holiday show, really, that covers the gamut. It's not all joy all the time. You know, we get into some darker emotions and things in the show, and I think for people who maybe had more of a blue year, the holidays are a hard time, and this is a show that works for them, where they can feel the holiday spirit, but also feel that the comfort of a story maybe similar to what they may have gone through this year.
Yeah, and Walter, we also get generations. Brianna was sort of talking about the, you know, there's the young children in the show, of course, but then we have the older generation, Gustav, right, Stossel, and this really covers about, what, three generations, and that's part of the magic of this story is, I think, the interaction between the generations and the character of the characters, but I'm talking about character, you know, in a descriptive way of the different generations in this show.
Sure, this is that show that brings together families. You know, it's a show with grandparents and grandchildren and everybody in between, but it's a show for families to come together. And also, you know, at its heart, it's a show about holiday traditions and about parents passing along their holiday traditions to their children. And indeed, it's the story of an immigrant family passing along their holiday traditions to other immigrants from other backgrounds. It's a really beautiful kind of coming together story. And I love that, you know, at the beginning of the story, we start off as individuals, but at the end of the performance, everyone is part of our Schooner family. And it just sort of permeates throughout the audience.
And for a good reason, too, because actually, as we close the interview, I'm going to play another song from the show, which, in my opinion, is one of the reasons that the audience is so involved in the show. It's one of the most beautiful songs in the show. You know what I'm talking about. And we've got a track of that. Steph, I guess it's really for Steph and Brianna. When I just think about, you know, actors and playing just the variety of roles that you play and the challenges you play, Peter, I'm just the character Peter for you, Steph. Is there a specific kind of challenge in this role? There's a strength to that character that's so critical. I'm just curious as to what part of your abilities that calls upon to get across, because it's got to be done right.
You know, it's that's a great question. the role is just so near and dear to my heart as a father that I feel like, you know, after 4 years, I kind of wear it like a glove. That said, the physical exertion that I go through every night, I sort of underestimate every year. I think, oh, I'll be fine. I'll be in good enough shape for it, particularly the dancing, which I'm not a dancer by any means. So that usually sneaks up on me. And, you know, I get done at the end of the night, and it's an exhausting night. You really throw yourself out there physically.
And, Brianna, the support, mm-hmm. you know, I can't help but I think of this show. It's hard to go to any show these days, Walter. I know you'd agree. With all that's going on in this world and the challenges that women have faced, and I'm not getting into politics here, but that's what I'm talking about, which is all that crap that's going on a daily basis in on our TVs and our newspapers and all of that, and you watch the role, the strength of the women in this show, I'm just curious, in your mind, as an audience member, I'm thinking about that, but maybe that's because I cover politics here at WGN, but am I off base with that, or does that strike you too?
Oh, not at all. And I think this show is so cool and progressive in that it was written, you know, over 25 years ago, and it has a woman as a central character. You know, she's the lead role of the show is a female, which is unfortunately so rare still. So I think that's so exciting, and I love the strength and hope that the role of Alma brings to the show. And just like Steph, it's the same with this part. Like, it's exhausting. It's tiring to do. And it's really exciting to go to work and feel like you did work every day.
Yeah.
And that's something I really love as an actor, you know, and sometimes our job is just like fun and silliness. And it's always a blast to be employed as an actor. But sometimes there's something really rewarding to come to work every day and really finish and be like, wow, I did work and I did good work and I told that story and I touched those people. And that's so exciting. And certainly as a central female character in a show like this, where let's face it, most holiday shows and stories are about the guys. It's really cool to be a part of that.
I would like the record to reflect, by the way, that Brianna laughed when Steph was talking about how hard he worked in the show and all of that.
He does. I laughed because
there's an evil pleasure.
Secret. He does come up to the dressing rooms and put an ice pack on his head at intermission every night because he is so tired from dancing.
This is the kind of stuff I want to hear on the podcast. This stuff, because now I know during intermission, while I'm out back next door at the chocolate store, which Walter is Pavlovian for me, I have to go to that chocolate store every time because, of course, when you buy chocolate, they tell you your fortune. Did you know that, by the way, Steph and Brianna?
Oh, yeah. So I've had my fortune told far too many times.
So now that I know when I'm buying chocolate that Steph is upstairs with an ice pack on his head waiting for Act 2. This is good to know. Walter, we're going to wrap in a moment, but I just want to ask you this. I hope it's a fair question. As I said, Christmas Schooner has been at other theaters, and I don't know if just the rights became available or just, but what made you say, I'm grabbing that, we're bringing it, it's going to be a tradition here at the Mercury, aside from the fact that you're the same age?
Well, they stopped producing it in Chicago, and it sort of lay dormant for a couple of years. And it is something special to our city. There's still, you know, you go down to the Clark Street docks, and there's plaques that are devoted to the historic episodes that inspired the story, and it's a story that is still relevant and topical and interesting, and it just it deserves to be told. And so we picked up the mantle, we're running with it, and I couldn't be happier with the production. I just I love these people like they're my own family, and I think audiences do too.
The great part is, you can get tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com, right? What I love, but you know, every time I come to your theater now, I've gotten also, not only do I go to the chocolate shop and get my fortune told, but I have dinner at the Grassroots Restaurant. So, I mean, it's just routine for me to do that now.
We are your one-stop shop. You can pull up and we'll take care of the rest of your night. We've got valet at the door, and we've got a restaurant under our roof. And after the show, you can have cocktails nearby, and it's a lot of fun.
It's a great night up on Southport. What's the address? Give the folks the address so they know it.
3745 North Southport Avenue in the great city of Chicago.
I don't know exactly where you are. I just couldn't think of the number. MercuryTheaterChicago.com is the website to get tickets. It's only playing till December 31st. I mean, we're right in that holiday season, and as we sort of talked about, after the holidays are over, nobody wants to see Christmas shows. So see it while you're going to love it, which is when it's playing. So, okay, this is a little trivia question. I really hope I don't embarrass myself because we're going to go out playing what I told you I think is my favorite song in the show, the song that I think brings the audience, if you haven't gotten them to them and you grab them with this song. So now I have to say, what song do you think I'm talking about? I hope you all say the same one. Steph, which one do you think I'm talking about?
Blessings of the Branch.
Rihanna, what do you think?
Same.
Walter?
Well, you know, I'm a little torn. I love Blessings of the Branch, but I think I know what we sent you. So.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Well, in that case, you know what? In that case, I'm glad I asked Walter last because that's indeed my favorite song in the show. That is one that I walk out. It makes you feel good. You turn to people in the audience that are sitting around you. It involves the audience, and good luck getting that song out of your head when you leave the theater because it's just so beautiful. And so that's what I want to play on the way out as I encourage people to, again, go to mercurytheaterchicago.com. Get tickets for the Christmas Schooner at the Mercury Theater. It is a musical. It is a Chicago-based story with such great Chicago talent. Even though, I mean, I know you guys, I know, Steph, you used to live in L.A. I know you guys are all over the place, but this is home. And so you can see Steph Tovar as Peter Stossel, Brianna Borger as Alma Stossel, and Walter's often hanging around, too. Maybe he'll buy you a drink or something. How about that for a challenge, Walter?
Buying everybody a drink?
Hey, I can say it. All you can do is just, where's Walter? I don't know. He left when he saw you coming.
I'll share a drink.
Okay, that's fair. Thank you, guys. Have a great run for the show. Congratulations on your fourth year in terms of doing this in these roles. You guys are just magnificent in them. And we're going to wrap up with, indeed, my favorite song from the show, The Blessings of the Branch. Thank you, guys. Have a great run.
Happy holidays.
You too.
May this branch bring you love. Take it and pass it on. May the hope of peace shine bright in all our hearts tonight. May this branch bring you love. Take it and pass it on.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.